It's hard to believe, but 3.5 weeks we'll be keeping the fall festival season. How quickly the time is going by. And I thought, what do I speak about and encourage you to prepare for the days that are coming, specifically the holy days. It's a wonderful time. It's a blessed time that we can all have the opportunity of rejoicing with God. And I thought, I'm not going to be speaking on trumpets. I'm not going to be speaking on the Day of Atonement, so that leaves the Feast of Tabernacles, but I'm not speaking at the Feast of Tabernacles either. So that leaves today. So I just thought I'd talk a little bit about the holy days. I want to encourage you to have a wonderful feast time, but I don't want to take anything away from the holy day season, because I know we'll have speakers that will be speaking about trumpets and what the meaning of trumpets and all that pertains to. There'll be speakers talking on the Day of Atonement, which isn't their favorite day, but they do speak because of fasting. But I thought I'm going to talk a little bit about a subject that I think sometimes we don't fully appreciate. And I say appreciate. Isn't the Holy Days a fantastic time that we appreciate? Yes. I'm not referring to not appreciating the Holy Days. I think sometimes we don't fully appreciate our Heavenly Father and the wonderful blessings that we have as God's people. As Tim mentioned, the sheep of the pasture, his pasture. We are a sheep. What a wonderful blessing to be able to be called the sons or the children of God. I think sometimes it's easy to take for granted because God's wonderful blessings. But this time of the year, as we prepare for the fall festival season, I think we should think about our Heavenly Father and all his wonderful blessings that he gives us. We are truly blessed as God's people to be able to say we understand the purpose for mankind, why he created man and women, the purpose for his holy days, why the fulfillment of that will bring great joy to not only us, but to the entire world. What a wonderful blessing the world will have an opportunity to know in its time. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our Heavenly Father. And when I was thinking about our Heavenly Father, I get the opportunity to see my own personal physical father. And while I was visiting him one day, he says to me, "You know, when you get 60, you're going to know what I'm going through." And I noticed with each passing year, it got a little bit older. When you get 65, you're going to understand what I'm going through. Well, he's 88. So he said, "When I'm 70, you're going to understand what I'm going through." Well, now he's 88, and he said, "When you're 88, you're going to understand what I'm going through." Well, I think I do understand what he's gone through, because I'm long past 60, heading towards 70. So that tells me that I think I understand what he's saying. But do we really understand what our Heavenly Father is saying to us? I think sometimes we just take it all for granted. The holy days come and they go, and we just take them for granted sometimes. We don't fully appreciate what our Heavenly Father has done for us. And I think the greatest gift, now some people can debate this, but I personally feel the greatest gift that our Heavenly Father has given us is physical life. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I think the greatest gift is physical life, because if he hadn't given us physical life, none of the holy days would mean a thing, because we wouldn't exist. So it wouldn't mean anything to us. And we understand our Heavenly Father had the spiritual kingdom. He had the angelic beings. So he didn't need physical man. Man was just kind of like a secondary thought in some people's mind. But our Heavenly Father wanted to expand his physical family and spiritual family. So over in Genesis, if you turn there, he talks about it over here in Genesis chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 26. I think you know where I'm going with this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man." So here God decided he wanted to create not just spiritual beings, but physical beings here. He says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And verse 27 says, "And so he created both man in his image. In the image of God created he both male and female." And notice in verse 28, "And God blessed them, And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So here God decides, now he's going to create man. And one of the blessings of physical life, we have the capability, humans have the capability of creating life. What a wonderful blessing. So it's not just God created life for us individually, but then he gave us the opportunity to create life in the physical form. And so when a child is the result of the physical union between a man and a woman, we are blessed to be able to create children. What a wonderful blessing that our great God gives us. Because as he shows us his love for us, we have the opportunity to have life and give life to others. And then we can express our love to those individuals as he has expresses his love for us. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to talk a little bit about God's physical life that he gives us and emphasize we also should appreciate that great love, because I feel that's the greatest gift. If he hadn't given us life, we would not exist. And all the meanings and all the wonderful plans that God has for mankind would not exist for us. But he did allow us to have life. So John chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 13. I'm getting there. You're probably there before me. John chapter 1 verse 13 says, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is God who actually gives us the life. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. Now this is in reference to Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as only the begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So our Heavenly Father who gives us life allows us the opportunity to fully understand it's just part of his plan. This is part of his creation, why he gave us life, so that we can become like him. Until we've been born again, as some has referred to, we will not fully be part of the kingdom of God. We have to come to the point where, with repentance, baptism, and receiving of the Holy Spirit through baptism, we then become one of the children of God. Till we receive God's Holy Spirit, we're just like everyone else. But once we receive God's Holy Spirit, we're special. We've been given a special calling, a special blessing, an opportunity to be in the kingdom of God. And I consider it another life. Because if we've lived prior to being called from God, outside of the calling, we know what the dark side's all about. You know, we watch movies like Star Wars and some of the other movies that are out there, and it kind of portrays the dark side. Well, we were living in the dark side prior to our calling. But God, out of his love and mercy, provided the calling to us, to each and every one of us. Now, our children sometimes say, well, I'm not baptized, so this doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does, because you're being led by the Spirit. You're being led. You're being taught. You're being given understanding. And so the Holy Spirit, which God gives us, enables us to be called the children of God. And that's a wonderful blessing. And that's like living again. That's like a new life, being reborn and given the opportunity to turn from the dark side to the light side, or to God's way of life. So it's a wonderful blessing that each and every one of us has the opportunity of experiencing life that God gives us. Let's look at John chapter 3. This is a popular scripture that we see at football games. Signs are always popped up. John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. So we understand our calling starts with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he made for us. And that shows us where he forgives us our sins, and we can be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. So our life can be started through Jesus Christ's example of forgiveness of our sins. It's a wonderful blessing of giving life all over again. Like I said, if you've ever been to the point where individuals have left the church, God is a very merciful God. He's a wonderful creator. And he considers all of us, like Tim was saying, he doesn't want to lose any sheep. And when individuals turn away, sometimes we have sorrow with that. We suffer with that individual for leaving. But God doesn't give up on that individual. And sometimes God brings them back, whatever it takes. Sometimes it humbles them to the point where they realize that, hey, this isn't what life's about, and they repent. The prodigal son is a wonderful example of that. You can read the Proverbs, the verse of the prodigal son, and how he changed and came back. And any of us can fall away. Any of us can turn back and go back into the world and allow ourselves to slip and fall. And sometimes, I think, because we don't think about the awesome God that we serve. Our God is a tremendous loving God. He gives us the life that we deserve. And let's look at Luke chapter 12. So I don't want anyone to think that just because somebody turned away from the church that they're lost forever. Only God has the right to judge each and every one of us. And sometimes individuals go astray, and sometimes, like Tim was saying about the sheep, I thought that was a great analogy there that Tim gave. Like sheep, sometimes we fall away, and we turn away, but God never gives up on us. He always is waiting for us to return. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "Fear not, little flock." Now, I wasn't aware that Tim was going to speak about sheep, so this kind of fits in with Tim's sermonette. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And that's his whole purpose for creating man, is so that we can be part of the kingdom of God. And the key is we got to stay faithful. We got to endure to the end. And that's part of living and having life. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll look at verse 18. And I think this is sometimes we need to evaluate our lives and our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father and wonder sometimes, do we fully appreciate the great God that we serve? And sometimes this time of the year, when we're preparing for the Holy Day season, let's be thankful for not only the purpose and the plan that God designed for mankind, but to be thankful that He gave us life. Give Him the thanks, give Him the praise, and give Him the honor for creating us. Because he didn't have to. He had the angelic beings, and that could have been enough to satisfy him, and he could have went on with his kingdom. But no, he blessed us by creating us. Now, he gave us free moral agency. And that free moral agency sometimes allows us to make a mistake and stumble and fall. But notice in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." We have a tremendous blessing from our Heavenly Father to understand the plan of God, to know what the glory will be when it's revealed in us, to be spirit beings. What a wonderful blessing to know that. And at this present time, we're going to suffer from time to time. And that's not easy. To live a life and struggle, to get old, like my father says, and you'll know what it's like when you turn 88. It's not going to be easy, brethren. But, you know, we have a Father who knows and cares about us, who loves us, and truly wants us in His kingdom. And so He's going to do everything He can and allow us to go through whatever we face. I know it's not always easy. I mentioned this present times are not worthy to be compared, because it's all going to fade away when the kingdom of God is established. And so we can endure whatever pain, suffering we must face in the future. But we have to look for the hope of the kingdom of God and the kingdom that's coming when Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom. It says verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." So it's waiting for us. "For the creature was not subject to vanity nor willingness, but by reason for him who has subject for the same hope. And because the creature itself also was delivered from the bondage of corruption," which we were in the bondage of corruption before we knew our full. It says, "We were given the glorious liberty of the children of God." And now we are the children of God. We've been given that liberty. We've been given that blessing. We've been given the calling. We've been given life. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that our Creator God has given us. "For we know that the whole world groans and with travail and pain together until now. So brethren, the world's waiting. They don't understand what they're waiting for because they don't have a full understanding. But when they see the fulfillment of God's plan, the holy days, when they're fulfilled, they will truly understand and be truly blessed that we had the opportunity of being the first fruit, and that we will be serving them in the future in the kingdom of God and helping them and teaching them and instructing them and showing God's way. This is all part of God's plan, and the holy days reveal that to us. And so life, the blessing of life, I feel is the greatest gift that God has given mankind. And what we do with that is strictly up to us, whether we stay faithful, endure to the end, or we fall away, which some will, as it warns. Many are called, but few are chosen. Some will fall away. Some will turn away. We must stay faithful. We must endure. We must accept the great blessings, the great calling that our Heavenly Father has given us, and appreciate the life that He has given us. The physical life that we temporarily will have, and then the spiritual life, eternal life that we will receive in the future at the return of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about some other things in reference to our Heavenly Father. I started with life because I think without life, it doesn't mean a whole lot. We don't exist, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Well, with life comes love. And of course we understand the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. You can write them down. Galatians 5:22, all the fruits of the Spirit. And you notice the first one is love, because God is love. And we read that over in 1 John chapter 3, if you want to turn there. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 1. And then I'm going to emphasize love here, love that our Father has for us. Now, we as physical fathers have love for our children. We all love our children. They're very dear to us and very close to us, and we have a deep relationship with our physical children. But our Heavenly Father has the same relationship with each and every one of us. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So God calls us His children, and He loves us very dearly. That's why He gives us life, because He wants us in His kingdom. "Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not." So we are called the children of God because God loves us and He gives us His Holy Spirit. And we understand that as children, sometimes we need to fully appreciate our parents. We don't always appreciate them until sometimes they're gone. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, is our spiritual father, our spiritual parent. And we need to fully appreciate Him, especially around the holy day season, for what He is doing in our lives and what He's going to do for all of mankind. The great love He has for mankind. There's coming a time when the whole world will understand what we understand. Not now, not at this time, but there's a time coming when they will fully understand. And what a wonderful blessing they will have to experience the full love and be called the children of God as well. So God fully reaches out to us and expresses His love for us. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at verse 8. Now here it's breaking into a thought. "He that loves not knows not God." So if we don't have love, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, then we don't know God. For God is love, it says. And so that's the emphasis of the fruit of the Spirit. He expresses His love to us. We express our love to each other and to our children and to our families. As God gives us His Holy Spirit, we should have more love and reaching out to not only our physical family, but especially our spiritual father, our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, our brother. These are the ones that we should truly express our love to through meditation, through our prayer, through our contact with Him, and meditating. It says, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Again, He didn't have to do that. He could have allowed Jesus Christ to stay up in heaven and not be sacrificed. And that's a tremendous sacrifice that God the Father made as well. It wasn't just Jesus Christ made the sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father made the great sacrifice to give up His Son. And Jesus Christ was willing to do that. That's out of His love for us. Again, we have an awesome God that truly, truly loves us and wants the best for us. And so He realized that mankind will, because he's feeble, he's frail, he's very subjective to Satan the devil, which is one of the holy days will prepare us that Satan will be bound and he will no longer have the influence on mankind. Again, a wonderful part of God's holy day season. But he understands that Satan will attack us and try to get us to fail and fall. And if Satan wins the battle, mankind would die. And so God allowed an antidote to that. He allowed the sacrifice of his Son, the sacrifice of his Son for the remission of our sins. And then we can still be in the kingdom of God. We don't have to die. Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, and he did that because of his love for each and every one of us. Again, what an awesome plan. What a tremendous blessing to know how much love not only our Heavenly Father has for us, but also our brother Jesus Christ. The two together had planned this from the very beginning, that we would all be part of God's kingdom, and we would endure to the end. Let's look at 1 John, while we're in 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 2 and 3. And again, with this love that he has given us, and Jesus Christ has expressed to us by his great sacrifice for each and every one of us as we prepare for the holy days, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. So it can't be just loving ourselves or loving each other. We have to express our love for God and keep his commandments. It's not something that we should take for granted. I know every year the holy days come, they go, they come, they go. And sometimes it's so easy to just take them for granted and take God's plan for granted and take Him for granted. God rejoices with us at the Feast of Tabernacles when we attend the Feast of Tabernacles. He rejoices with us and He enjoys and wants us in His kingdom. And so we need to have that great love and we need to continue to keep the commandments. In verse 3 it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I heard an individual told me once, oh, you keep those commandments. And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, you know, they're done away with. You don't have to keep any of those things. Well, I didn't get into an argument with him. I figured, okay, he's got his point of view and I have my point of view. But I told him, I said, well, in the end, I said, we'll find out who wins in the end here. I said, you don't want to keep the commandments. You don't have to if you feel you don't have to. I feel I have to because I'm commanded to in the scriptures to keep the commandments. Well, we parted ways, and I don't know if he ever thought about that or not, but I've thought about individuals sometimes. They consider them grievous. And they're not grievous. They're wonderful commandments for our how to live our lives. As God has given us life, he shows us how to live our lives through the commandments. And we should rejoice and give God thanks for the commandments, not just do them and just assume that, you know, that's we're commanded, but rather do them out of love because we want to keep the commandments and we understand that God wants us to keep the commandments. Verse 4 says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And that's part of overcoming the world by keeping the commandments. If we don't keep the commandments, we'd be just like everyone else. We would lie, we would cheat, we would steal, we would maybe even kill. In certain situations. But we've overcome the world because we keep the commandments and we don't allow ourselves to fall back in the ways of the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's going to take our faith that will help us win the battle and win the victory in the kingdom of God. And it all starts with His great love. Let's look at Romans. Romans, we'll look at chapter 5. Brethren, we are truly blessed to know the holy day plans that God has for us and for mankind. Let's not ever take them for granted. Let's not ever think, oh, here comes the holy days again. Okay, I got to take off work or I got to take the children out of school and find them grievous. I hope we don't fall into that category. Some individuals got weary in well-doing over the course of time. And so it's so easy to fall away. But God doesn't want us to fall away. He doesn't want us to slip up and stumble and fall, put stumbling blocks. He wants us to be part of His kingdom. And because of His love, let's look at Romans 5, and we'll look at verse 8. But God commands His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I talked a little bit about the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. We were sinners in the world. And anybody who says, well, I grew up in the church. What sins do I have? You got to evaluate yourself. Perhaps you have vanity or self-centeredness. It could be whatever. God will reveal whatever sins we have in His time. And so we have to repent of those sins. And the important thing that we need to realize that Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for us so that our sins can be forgiven. Much more than being now justified by His blood, because we are justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. This world's going to get darker and darker, and evil and evil. Satan's influence is definitely becoming more prevalent in the world. We have terrorist groups that don't care and don't value life of anyone. And if they could, they would destroy us as a nation. There are nations that want the United States to fail and fall down and collapse. Bible prophecy says that Christ will return before mankind destroys the earth. But if He's let go, without God intervening, without His love that He has for us, this world would be destroyed. But God understands mankind. He created them. And He knows that mankind will not be destroyed because Jesus Christ will come in full glory and full power and establish the kingdom of God. And that's part of the love that He has for us. And so we'll be saved from the wrath that this world is going to create. The love of many shall wax cold. And the examples in the Bible that warns us not to allow ourselves to get weary. We have to stay hot. We can't be lukewarm Christians. We have to be zealous. And we have to be continually enduring and having the great love, not only for, like I say, our children and each other, but especially for our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many one be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, and that was Jesus Christ. And again, I emphasized His love for us, allow us to have our sins forgiven. And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one that condemnation, but the free gift, it was a free gift. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. Our sins were our sins. And our sins, the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And that's what we earned. But out of the free gift, our offenses will be justification. And we will be justified and we will be cleansed. And we will be once again restored in the sight of God. And we can cry out the term Abba, it refers to, or Daddy. We can cry out to Dad. Anytime we're struggling with something that's bringing us back into the dark side, we can cry out to God for help. God is rooting for us. He wants us in His kingdom. He loves us. He cares about us. And He wants each and every one of you in His kingdom. And if you're struggling with anything, we can always go to our loving Father and ask Him for forgiveness. What a wonderful blessing to understand what God's all about, what His mercy is, what His great love is for us, and Jesus Christ. As a father, I have two children, and many of us have children. And when our children cry out to us, they're sorry for what they do, your heart just reaches out to them, just like God reaches out to each and every one of us when we struggle and deal with sin. It's the great love of the fruit of the Spirit that enables us to have that love, not only for our children, but especially our great love for God. Another area that our Heavenly Father shows us is protection. He protects His children. A good father, our Heavenly Father, protects us in many different ways. Sometimes we don't even realize how He protected us. There's potential for accidents as we travel. I've experienced that myself, where I've been in accidents where I could have been killed, head-on collisions at least three times. And yet I'm still here to say I'm still enduring to the end. Head-on collisions, not many people walk away from. And I've had three experiences of head-on collisions. And yet I'm still here experiencing life. So God does protect us. And you say, wow, how does he protect us when individuals are dying from diseases? We see the world with violence and so much going on. God protects us in his own way. We don't always see how God protects us. We don't always understand how God protects us. But he protects us in ways that are just marvelous. He protects his children in things. It says over in Romans chapter 8, while we're in the book of Romans, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good, for them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And it is God's desire and protection for each and every one of us. In the future, there's going to be a place of safety. We understand that. Where it is, we don't know. How God will get us there, we don't know. We don't fully understand the full plan of this place of safety. We know he says there'll be a place of safety for each and every one of us if we continue to be faithful and endure to the end. Will everybody be there? No. I say, wait, did you just say protecting? He's going to protect us? There will be individuals who will be martyred. We understand that. That's part of the prophecies that the Word of God predicts. There'll be individuals who will be tested of their faith, whether they will be enduring to the end, whether they will stand faithful and endure to the end, and even face death. But the majority of God's people will be protected. That's the purpose and the plan of God. There's a purpose for each and every one of us. Will we fully come to the point in our life, our physical life, and see the return of Jesus Christ? I can't answer that question. There's a possibility, yes. There's a possibility. But no, there's also a no possibility. We may die before Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God. But in the protection of our lives, he does intervene in many, many different ways. I know of individuals who have been healed of dreadful diseases, life-threatening diseases that they should have died. And God has protected his people. He's healed them. That's one of the blessings that God gives in protecting his people. But he doesn't heal everybody. He allows some to physically die. But this physical life is temporary. We need to understand that. Real true life is eternal life in the kingdom of God. That's real true life is really what it's all about. And God will protect us according to his will and his ways, not our ways. We can ask God for protection, and many times he answers our prayers. Like I mentioned, I was in three head-on collisions, and it wasn't just driving 5 miles an hour. It was full impact. And I should not be here. And the young girl that hit me should not be here. And she did die, but she was brought back to life. It's just one example of how God did protect. When I realized what happened, and we had the medics there on the accident, he said, if she doesn't have another heartbeat within the next couple minutes, we're going to declare her dead. 17-year-old girl. So I got on my phone. Now, I wasn't fully comprehending because I had just had an accident, a head-on collision. But I called different individuals, say, pray for this 17-year-old girl. God can heal her if it's his will. He can protect her and guide her. It's a remarkable story. They rushed her to the hospital. They air-flighted her to Geisinger. The next day, the very next day, this girl was up and around. They were ready to declare her dead within 5 minutes. And I was shocked when I saw her because I went over to the car and saw her. She was just crushed inside this car. And she was declared dead in the eyes of the medic. Yet they life-flighted her to the hospital. The very next day, she's up and around. I sent her some flowers. Others, like I say, prayed for her. I called around asking for prayer. That's answered prayer, and that's protecting her. God did intervene and protected her, and she survived. 17-year-old girl, remarkable, isn't it? So he doesn't just protect us. He protects the individuals in the world as well because of his love for mankind. And that's a wonderful story that I share with you because, like I say, we don't always know how God's going to protect us. I could have been that 17-year-old girl. Any one of you could have been that 17-year-old girl that was in that accident. And God may have protected you, or he may have left you die. We don't know what we're going to go through in life. But brethren, the important thing is staying faithful to God. No matter what we face in life, God's purpose is for the kingdom of God and give us eternal life. Physical life is temporary, and none of us want to suffer. None of us want to go through discomfort and pain. But God says that He will protect us in His way and in His time. So we have to accept that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we'll look at verse 12. I'm slowly losing my voice. Can you hear me back there? Okay. If I start fading, just kind of wave. How think you if a man has 100 sheep? Again, it's pretty neat how the sermonette sometimes fits in with the sermon sometimes. We don't plan it that way. I didn't talk to Tim. He didn't tell me he was going to speak about sheep today. And yet, while preparing the sermon and thinking about different subjects about how he protects his children, I brought this scripture out, and then Tim also emphasized about sheep, which is pretty neat. It just encourages me. I hope it encourages each and every one of you. God wants us to hear this message. He wants us to hear Tim's message. He wants us to prepare for the Holy Day season and think about these things. How think ye, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them go astray, does he not leave the 99 and go out to the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And that's how our Heavenly Father is. He has us all gathered together as a group. And every now and then one of us sheep walks away or gets lost, goes astray for whatever reason. But he doesn't give up. It says, and if so be that he finds it, he goes and seeks it, and then he finds it. And sometimes he brings the individual back. Our loving God, out of his protection, he brings them back because he wants them in the kingdom of God. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of wicked people. We might take pleasure in the death of wicked people, but God doesn't. He wants every person in the kingdom of God, even the wicked people, to turn from their wicked ways is what he wants. And that's part of what his plan is. And whatever he has to do, he will protect his people from wicked people, if that's what he has to do. It says, he will rejoice more of that sheep than the 99, because he's saved in the 99, but that one that is going astray, he's going to lose that one if that person does, that individual, that sheep, does not come back to the flock. He's going to lose that. And God feels bad about losing anybody. He doesn't want anybody to die and not be part of the kingdom of God. And so he goes out and he seeks after that individual. And he will rejoice greatly if that individual comes back. And we too should rejoice greatly when anybody comes back that has turned away and comes back into the flock, in the congregation, and dwells among us. And we should pray for individuals who have turned away. Pray for their protection. Pray for their guidance back. And ask God, if possible, bring them back and be among us. For even so, it is not the will of your Heavenly Father that any of these little ones should perish. No, it's not God's will. That's not what He wants. He doesn't want any of us or anyone to perish. Moreover, if your brother transgresses against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. That is what we're supposed to do, brethren. When we see somebody who's struggling or he has a fault against us, we don't go around telling everybody all the problems that, oh, he left the church because of this or whatever the problem was. No, we go to the individual. If we can encourage the individual not to leave, to endure to the end, to stay faithful, encourage, be an encourager, we can't change an individual. We can ask God to change the individual, and God can change the individual through His power of His Holy Spirit. He can bring them back. We can only pray for the individuals and all those who have turned away. And then through God's protection, we understand that many times individuals may experience some terrible things in life, and then because of protection, they realize God is still with them. And sometimes that turns them around. There have been individuals who have said that they came back because they knew that this was the right place to be. But they went out into the world and they made the mistakes. And God did still protect them. God protected them even though they weren't part of the group. They were one of the lost sheep. But He still stayed with them. It's a wonderful blessing. Again, a wonderful attribute of what our Heavenly Father is all about. He's for all of us to be in the kingdom of God. To be part of the kingdom. And He knows that Satan the devil is the key individual that attacks us. Sometimes we attack ourselves, but Satan stirs up the minds of men, and he causes many of us to fail. And that's why in the plan of God, Satan will be bound, and he'll be put in his proper place until the kingdom is established, and all of mankind will have the opportunity to know God's wonderful plan for them. And the protection that will be coming from mankind will not destroy this world. You hear stories of the doomsday clock. It's ticking and ticking and ticking to the point where the world's going to destroy itself through the nuclear weaponry that we have. We have weaponry now that they don't even have to be in our neighborhood to kill us. They have these light guns that can see where you are located in your house. And they can shoot them from a distance away. They don't even have to be close to us to kill us. But God will protect us. He will not destroy us or that mankind in general. There is a plan for protection. Let's look at the Psalm, the book of Psalms. I couldn't pass up the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms and Proverbs. These are my favorite books in the Bible. And growing up as a teenager, this kept me in the church. Because I was part of the world prior to God's calling. And when my parents started teaching me the truths of God, reading and studying the books of Proverbs, the books of Psalms, kept me close to God. And I hope it keeps you close to God, because these are encouraging words for all of us to hold on to realize that we have a great God who wants us in His kingdom. And if we do the things that He tells us to do, we'll never fail. We'll never fail. He said He'll be with us no matter what. Let's look at Psalms 46. And this, I think, are encouraging words in reference not only for protection, but just in life general. Psalms 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and He's our strength. If we think we're strong enough that we can stand against the devil, we're in for a rude awakening. Satan is clever. He's not going to hit us with our strong points. He's going to come at us where we're weak, where we struggle as sheep. He's going to come at us from our weak point. And that's how he wins the battle. He knows if he can get us where we're weak, we'll stumble and fall. But notice this, God is our refuge and our strength. It's not us. We're not the ones that can stand against the devil. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that gives us the capability of resisting the devil. That's the key difference there. It says, a very present help in trouble. So when we are trouble, when we are struggling, we need to cry out to God for strength and to give us what we need and protect us. It says, therefore we will not fear. The world's not going to be destroyed as so many people are predicting. Mankind's going to be destroyed by 2020. I've heard that prediction already. That's not too far away. We're at 2017, 3 years. A prediction we're going to be destroyed by the year 2020. Well, that's a false prophecy. I can guarantee that. That's not part of God's plan. He's not going to destroy the world in 2020. So when you hear prophecies of individuals predicting dates of when Christ returns, many of them are going to be false prophets making these predictions. But the important thing is, we don't have to fear, though the world and the earth will eventually be removed, and as it says, it will be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Because in the prophecy times, there's going to be a lot of events that take place where the heavens and the stars are going to fall from the sky. There's going to be a lot of earthquakes in diverse places, and fearful things. But we don't have to fear these things, because we understand the plan of God, what it's all about. When the establishment and the fulfillment of the prophecies are fulfilled, it says, verse 3, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled. Brethren, as we've been told, we need to pray for the brethren in Houston, Texas. The water, I say, they are roaring down there. They're predicting, and I heard, as much as 35 inches of rain in that area. Can you imagine 35 inches of rain? I mean, 20 inches of rain has been predicted in other areas. It doesn't matter how much rain, that's a lot of rain. And that's a lot of water, and that can be troubling. So we do need to pray for our brethren, not only in Houston, but the people in Texas that are dealing with that. Ask for God's protection from that at this time. He will protect according to His will. We understand that. But we have our part of praying and asking for protection for these individuals in Houston and Corpus Christi and other areas. I have a a cousin who lives in Houston, Texas. And so she's definitely on my mind when I hear about this hurricane that's coming through. And it's, they expect some tremendous amount of devastation from this one. This is a really a Category 3, I believe. It was up to a 4. And I was talking with John a little bit this morning. It's been going up and down. Originally it started 2, then it was up to 4, 3, now is it 1? Is that the latest? Down to 1 now. So at least it's subsiding. So God is protecting some of part of that area by subsiding the winds and the rain. But still, it's going to be devastation. So ask for God's protection upon His children, those who He has called, and all of mankind in those areas. Pray for individuals because they need your help. Let's look at Psalm chapter 4. Again, I do really enjoy the book Psalm. I'm reading them. I read them almost every year. I make a habit of reading and going back over the book of Psalms and Proverbs because, like I mentioned, it guided me through life. When I was a teenager, I was involved with a lot of things that could have pulled me away from God and taken me out into the world like everyone else. But as I studied God's Word and I read Proverbs, the encouragement words of Psalms, that kept me close to God, and hopefully it will keep you as well. Don't let anything or anyone, even the bees, bother you or take you away from God's Word. Psalms chapter 4, we'll look at verse 8. I think these are words of encouragement for when we think about protection and we think about situations involving prophecies and how scary they can be. We can read words like this. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. When people are worried or afraid, they don't sleep and they don't have peace. But brethren, we understand the plan of God. We understand the difficult times. And I consider life very much like a roller coaster ride. You're going to have highs, then you're going to have lows, some twists and turns in life. You never know what life's going to bring you. But the important thing is we need to realize the overall purpose for what God designed and the plan of mankind. And we can have peace and we can sleep peacefully at night. For those, Lord, will make me dwell in safety. He will protect us and His according to His safety and according to His time. Again, I realize prophecy does talk about martyrs in Revelation. There will be individuals who will be faithful and endure to the end. When we read Hebrews, the heroes of the Bible, in Hebrews 11, individuals, they didn't have it easy. Many individuals struggled in life. Some died. You read about it, tortured, horrible situations, but they stayed faithful. That is the key. No matter what life brings us, no matter whether we deal with hardship that is hard to bear, God will not give you something you can't handle. And that's something you can hold on to, and that's something you can hold dearly. Whatever you face, God knows and has enough confidence in you that you can deal with whatever trial you go through. And He loves us very much, and He protects us as one of His great blessings. And again, it just reminds us again how wonderful God, how awesome we serve a great, tremendous God. Now, as a Heavenly Father, I've got several more points. I don't have a clock, so I'm going to go till I run out of speaking or till 3 o'clock. I just want to get your reaction on that one. I'll just bring out some other point. I can't cover all the wonderful attributes that our Heavenly Father has. We could talk all day. I could talk probably for a week about the wonderful attributes. I'm just hitting the iceberg of these wonderful attributes that our God, our loving Father, has, and how He has reached out to us and given us His truths and giving us His blessing and giving us the understanding of the plan that He has for mankind. He didn't have to call any of us. He didn't have to. But out of His mercy, His love, and His compassion for us, He's blessed us greatly. Let's not take that for granted. Let's not just let the holy days come and go and not fully appreciate and tell God how much we truly appreciate all He does for us. Our Heavenly Father provides for us in so many wonderful ways. He provides for us just like a loving physical father provides for us. he does as well. Let's look at James chapter 1. Book of James. Chapter 1, we'll look at verse 17. This is part of how God provides for us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So God gives us the blessings of what we need and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We can truly appreciate when God provides for us. Sometimes in life we struggle. We may lose our job because of the Sabbath or the holy days. We may find ourselves struggling financially. There's been various individuals who struggle from time to time. But God always provides for his people. There's no one that is destituted to the point where they don't have enough for their own personal needs. Now, we don't always have the best of everything. Sometimes in life, we like to have more. We got to be careful we don't become envious of what someone else has. God provided for someone else, and you say, boy, I wish God would have given me that sports car that they gave him, or he gave me a nice, wonderful house, and boy, you know, I wish God would have gave me a wonderful house. God provides for all our physical needs and all our spiritual needs. We may not have what we want, but we do have what God feels we need, and he will provide for whatever we need. And I know of individuals who've lost their job over the Sabbath or the holy days, and God provided another job for them. Doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes individuals have to wait 6 months before they find another job. But they never went hungry. Individuals in the church rose to the occasion. I know of individuals personally who had given individuals money to help them pay the electric bill, to pay the mortgage, the rent. They reached out of love and compassion and helping provide. Our Heavenly Father stirs the hearts of us and encourages us to help each other. When an individual is struggling, when life is not always what you want it to be, when sometimes you lose your job, and it's not pleasant as a father to go to your family and say, I just don't have the money to do that. And they're looking forward to an activity or whatever, and you just say, we can't do that. That's hard on a father to say you can't do that. But our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we even asked what our needs are. He knows what life brings for each and every one of us, and he knows how he can provide for us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll look at verse 25. Oh, thanks, Tom. He's telling me it's close to lunchtime. All right, I'll keep moving along. I have 9 other points. No, I don't. I'm only teasing. I'm wrapping it up. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, and we sang this. This was one of the songs we sang. Take no thought for your life, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet what your body, what you should put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Perhaps behold the fowls of the air, for they not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, now this is the point that I want to emphasize, our heavenly Father feeds them, and that are they not much better than us? It says, which of you can take a thought, can add a cubic to a statue? Well, as we get older, my dad says I'm going to shrink. And I did measure myself, and I did shrink. So you're going to shrink too. So we can't add a cubic as we get old. We're actually going to lose a cubic. But that's part of life. It says, and why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So our Heavenly Father knows our needs, and he will reach out to us and give us what we need. Because of time, I'm going to refer to Luke chapter 12. You can write this down. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through verse 31. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Again, wonderful scriptures for encouraging us of how God does provide for us as His family. We are the children of God, and He will provide for each and every one of us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Another area, and I think one of the greatest areas, besides giving us life, is the fact that our Heavenly Father will teach us and give us understanding of His plan for mankind. That's a wonderful blessing. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, and we'll look at chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I'm breaking into the thought here. Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. And again, the emphasis very strongly. Stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught. And our children have been taught the teachings of God. And so they have the truths. Now, many of them are not baptized yet. Their time, whenever they're ready, they have the opportunity to receive God's Holy Spirit through baptism and laying on of hands. But the point I want to emphasize, God teaches us, and He wants us to teach our children, and He wants us to hold on to the traditions and the teachings that we've been taught. Not to cast them aside and say, I'll keep that one, and I don't want to keep that one, but that one I do like, that one I don't like. No, it's not a matter of choices. It's a matter of holding on to them and teaching them to our children and have them understand the plan of God. So God, our Father, teaches us. You can look at John 14, verse 26. And one of my favorite, I'm going to refer to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is one of my favorites. Because as a father, this kind of reminds me what my role is. And we'll look at verse 4. Now, growing up as a child, I think many of us realize that sometimes fathers make mistakes. It says here, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's easy to make mistakes as a father. Our Heavenly Father don't want us to bring our children up in wrath or provoke them, but rather He wants us to nourish them, to bring them up and admonish them, to teach them and encourage them and guide them in life. What a wonderful blessing. Again, our Heavenly Father shows us the way to live, and we show our children the way to live, and they will instruct their children, whatever generation, till the end of the world. What a wonderful blessing, our Heavenly Father. You can look at Isaiah 58. I like Isaiah 58, verse 11. I'm going to refer to that, read that. I think that's encouraging words on teaching and instructing and holding on to the teachings that we've been taught. Not allow them to slip out of our mind, not to allow ourselves to take for granted the great God, the awesome Father that loves us and truly cares about us. One more area, I'm going to refer to it quickly because of time. I know you're getting hungry. For those of you who can't wait, just a few more minutes. Our Father forgives us no matter what. He doesn't hold anything against us if we are willing to go to Him in sincere repentance and ask for forgiveness. We have a Father who is willing to forgive us no matter what. And we will make mistakes, brethren. I'll be one of the first to admit I haven't done things always the right way. I've made mistakes over my lifetime. But I have a Heavenly Father, and you have a Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares about each and every one of us, and will forgive us no matter what mistakes we make, whether they're small mistakes or huge, gigantic mistakes. He doesn't give up on us. Isn't that encouraging to know we have a Father who doesn't give up on us? We look in the world today, and so many fathers walk away from the responsibility of being a father. And yet our Heavenly Father says He's there for us. All we got to do is cry out to Him, Abba, Father, please help me, forgive me. And He'll hear us, and He'll forgive us. Again, what an awesome God we serve. What a wonderful blessing to know our Heavenly Father. I'm going to refer some scriptures. Again, you can write these down. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Again, about how much he forgives us. As far as this is from the West, he says our sins are forgiven. That's over in the book of Psalms 103, verses 11 through 17. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It tells us as God's people what we need to do. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Because we are God's people and this is what we're supposed to be doing. 1 John chapter 1 verses 7 through 10. And let's look at one more scripture. Jeremiah Jeremiah 31. And we'll look at verse 34. As we keep the holy days, starting with trumpets, followed by Day of Atonement, the wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day, they're coming fast, brethren. 3.5 weeks, and we'll be keeping the fall festival season. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful understanding and knowing the plan that God has for mankind. Let's look at verse 34. And they shall teach no more his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Why? For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. So he's looking forward to this time when all mankind will know him. For I will forgive their iniquities. He will forgive their iniquities. He'll put the sins and the faults as far away as east is from the west. They're not in his mind any longer. He will forgive their iniquities. And I will remember their sins no more. This is what the world has looked forward to as well. We have it now. We have been very, very blessed to be called at this time. Don't ever, ever take God's plan for granted. Don't ever take God for granted. He is a merciful, a loving, a forgiving, a caring God. And each and every one of us has the opportunity of fully understanding who He is. He shows us by His power of forgiveness. He shows us in His ways that He teaches us, instructs us. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He forgives us. He provides for us. He protects us in so many, many ways. And again, these are just a few of the attributes of our loving God. As we prepare for the fall festival season, let's give God the credit for His wonderful plan for mankind. And let's have a wonderful feast.